The next appeal for oral argument is docket number 25-1450, Griffin versus Collins. Good morning, Mr. Jones.
All right. Excuse me, got a little crick in my throat. May it please the court. The brief that I filed in this case kind of outlines what we see as the legal issue in this case. And, you know, what we have here is we had an April 1986 board decision. The veteran had filed the claim for back service connection for back and knees.
Well, counsel, this may sound like deja vu because you've been before us on another case recently. But could you start with why you believe this court has jurisdiction?
Okay. This court has jurisdiction because the board in this particular case, we basically said that the standard that needed to be applied was whether or not it was capable of getting worse. And there is a precedent called O'Brien that we had cited, and we said that it would be applicable to this case. And the board said it did not have retrospective application. And so then therefore that creates then a legal issue about whether or not the correct standard was applied.
But what would be your response to the veteran court's determination that the retroactivity of O'Brien was irrelevant, given the overlap with the 1985 general counsel opinion?
Well, I think that the question about whether or not it's irrelevant or not, it still would be a question of whether or not is the correct legal standard, you know, applicable in this case. And second of all, is that this is what the board made a clear error by saying that it did not have retrospective application. And that, of course, is then a legal determination about whether or not it is applicable or not. Now, whether or not there could maybe be other reasons, the board did not address that.
Where is there any indication that the legal standard for distinguishing between a non-compensable genetic or congenital situation versus a potentially compensable disease or injury, where is there an indication that that legal standard ever changed between 1986 and now?
Well, our position is that the O'Brien case and the Cousins case said that the legal standard, and those were applied in Q context from a 1980
help me, because my reading of those was that they all consistently say the standard is whether the situation is capable of progression. I'm not seeing a distinction at any point.
Okay. I think that the board in this case did not apply whether or not the situation is capable of getting worse.
The 1986 board did not apply that standard.
And the board in this particular case did not also apply that standard as well when reviewing.
Can you show me where the 1986 board applied a standard different than the capable of progression standard?
Let me see what we can see, Jess. Let me pull this up. Okay. Okay, there we go. One time, two.
The 824.
Yeah, I think it's APPX 24.
5.
Yeah, the law and regulations. Okay, let me go make sure, because we get above there.
Counsel, Counsel, do you have your appendix? I think that Judge Chin identified some pages for you to look at.
24 and 25?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I have that here. Okay. And so it says that the veteran's service medical records show he made frequent complaints regarding pain in his back. However, repeated evaluations did not show the presence of any chronic acquired disability of the back, although there were x-ray findings of a spina bifida, occult and transitional anomalies in the spine. And then it said the abnormalities noted are congenital, developmental in nature and are not disabilities which would result from an injury or disease process. By regulation, such congenital developmental disorders are not disabilities for compensation purposes. Well, you have to then take a look at that. At the first statement says, well, the veteran's service medical records show he made frequent complaints regarding pain in his back. And so that would seem to indicate that based upon that factual finding, it would be something that would be capable of getting worse. Also then point out that when evaluating that, the board did not really cite any standard, it just cited the regulation within itself. And part of that comes from in the holding in O'Brien, which said, and I think it correctly said, that those things are considered to be, that it's ambiguous because it doesn't really provide a legal definition of what exactly a congenital developmental defect is. In fact, if you take a look at 3.303C, it just says congenital developmental defect is not considered to be a disease without providing any definition. And so what this court then held in O'Brien and in Cousins, which we point out were both Q cases, they both were applied to cases in 1980 and in 1954.
I'm trying to understand what was the nature of your appeal before the Veterans Court. And my understanding was it was your view that there was intervening case law since the time
of
1986 denial of the claim in a case called O'Brien that somehow changed the law. And then for understanding the distinction between a defect and a disease, and that in your view, that change in the law needed to be applied retroactively to the 1986 claim denial. And when you do that, you understand that there was a clear and unmistakable error and a failure to apply that intervening law. But then the response by the Veterans Court was really twofold. One was, it actually, O'Brien was no articulation of a change in law because the 1985 VA General Counsel presidential opinion already made it clear on the very same distinction between a defect and a disease. So it's neither here nor there whether there should be retroactive application of O'Brien because the law was always the same since 1985. And then secondly, even apart from this whole O'Brien question, it doesn't really matter because what ultimately happened here in 1986 with the denial was just a pure evaluation of the medical evidence alone to conclude that it was congenital.
I think that
that's a separate reason that's why your Q claim is being denied. And now we're left with the position of what's really there left for us as a jurisdictional matter to hear at this point, given that any attempt to try to get into the particulars of the 1986 claim denial would really be like a fact question or an application of law to fact.
Well, I think that our position at the board and our position at the Veterans Court with that the O'Brien did not necessarily affect the change in the law because if you actually take a look at the O'Brien case, it said that was the law at the whole time. And so then therefore you then get to the question that whenever you say retrospective application, what you're really saying is, what the board is really saying is that this was not the law at the time. In other words, that, and they did not apply that standard about whether or not something is capable of getting worse. And as we pointed out in our situation, they never really get to answering that question, whether or not something is capable of getting worse. So that was our position before the Veterans Court.
Counsel, are you arguing that the standard in O'Brien is different from the 1985 General Counsel opinion?
No. Okay, no. And so then therefore it gets then to the question, to the error in this case, which is that the board in 1986 also did not apply whether or not there was a whether or not it was capable of getting worse. And that, of course, would be a clear and unmistakable error. And you also would also be getting to the question about it would also then be for the error in the board in this case to be able to say, well, that was not the law at the time. And that's how we kind of then read it when you say it didn't have retrospective application, was we said, no, that was the law at the time.
Counsel, do you agree that the Veterans Court did not decide one way or the other whether O'Brien applied retroactively?
I think that would be, when they say it's irrelevant, I guess you can say that would probably be the case, but that of course could maybe end up be something for the court to be able to say that they should have raised that question, which maybe could get into whether or not there should be a remand or not.
I think you're agreeing that because the Veterans Court said the question of retroactivity is irrelevant, you're agreeing that the Veterans Court did not decide the retroactivity question, correct?
I think that would probably be an accurate reading.
Accurate?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Does the court have any other questions for me?
No, we'll save the remainder of your time for your
report. Okay, thank you.
Ms. Bay.
May it please the court. Even assuming that this court has jurisdiction, Mr. Griffin simply has no viable path to prevailing. For, I think, the three reasons that have just been discussed. First, as the Veterans Court held, the board's interpretation of 1986...
Hold on. Can you actually tell us what your view is on whether or not this court has jurisdiction before you get into your alternative?
Sure. I think, as we outlined in our brief, our position is that the court doesn't have jurisdiction, particularly because the Veterans Court did not decide on whether O'Brien applied retroactively. Rather, as Judge Chen just outlined, the Veterans Court essentially said that it didn't matter if O'Brien applied retroactively because the 1985 decision was the same as the, or that Mr. Griffin couldn't show that the 1985 decision did not apply in the 1986 board decision. And then the Veterans Court also said that in any event, at bottom, this is a medical question, and Mr. Griffin is essentially quibbling with the weight of the evidence, and then I think cited the 2023 board's opinion that there was no evidence that these diseases were capable, or these conditions were capable of progression, or that these types of diseases were understood as, I keep saying diseases, I clearly mean defects, were capable of progression. So we agree with the Veterans Court that at bottom, anything that would remain before this court would be the application of law to fact and therefore outside its jurisdiction.
Go ahead.
Have you read the original 1985 opinion? I think the version that we have in our JA is from 1990.
Yes, that's accurate, Your Honor. We searched for the original text of the 1985 opinion, and we had trouble locating it. However, if you look on page APPX 87, the preface to the 1990 version of the opinion says that it was previously issued in March of 1985, and that the text of the opinion remains unchanged. So we're unfortunately unable to locate the text of the 1985 opinion, or else we would have included it in the appendix or as an exhibit, but we were going off of the the representation in the 1990 opinion that the text is unchanged other than certain non-substantive clerical matters.
Thank you. Going back to our jurisdictional question, isn't the issue of whether the legal standard for differentiating between a defect and a disease has ever changed, isn't that itself a question of law that would be within our jurisdiction?
I suppose it could be, depending on how it was framed, but it seems that Mr. Griffin is asserting in his appeal that O'Brien applies retroactively. I don't believe he really addressed the Veterans Court's actual holding, which is that the 1986 board used the same interpretation as set forth in the 1985 VA opinion, and that that had not changed until O'Brien. And so
you just touched on something that is a question for me. How do we know that the VA in 1986 actually applied the 1985 VA General Counsel opinion on the distinction between defect and disease when the 1986 claim denial is totally silent on that fact?
So the 1986 decision admittedly did not use the words capable of progression, and it did not specifically state any reference to the 1985 VA opinion. But what the Veterans Court pointed out was not that it definitively used that standard, but rather that Mr. Griffin couldn't show that whatever standard the 1986 board applied, how that was different from the standard that was applied in O'Brien, and how the outcome would have changed in any meaningful way. So I think that the point is that there is nothing in the 1986 board opinion that shows that it didn't apply the 1985 standard. And if there's nothing that shows that, then it by definition cannot be clear and unmistakable error. And if anything, as we pointed out in our brief, there are certain statements in the 1986 opinion that I think would lend themselves toward an interpretation that aligns with the one set out in the 1985 General Counsel's opinion, such as the abnormalities are not disabilities, which would result from an injury or a disease process. So, again, there's simply nothing in the 1986 opinion that can be shown to be contrary to the standard that was set forth in the 1985 GC opinion or in O'Brien.
So that analysis right there, would that lead to, in your view, an affirm or a dismissal?
I think that if the court examines it from that rubric, I think that it would be a factual question. Certainly there would have to be an examination of fact of what is stated in the board's opinion to determine whether it aligns or deviates from the standard that was articulated in the 1985 board decision. So under that, I would say the court could dismiss, but certainly we would not object to the court's affirming on that ground either. So again, our primary position, as was the position of the Veterans Court, was that Mr. Griffin could not show any meaningful difference between the 1986 board decision interpretation or O'Brien. And even if he could, then we would say that George controlled. And the thing is that even if he can somehow demonstrate that the 1986 board applied a different interpretation of O'Brien and demonstrate that O'Brien applied retroactively, there could still be no question of Q because the 2023 board explained and the Veterans Court affirmed that whether his condition is a congenital defect is ultimately a medical question, and there was no evidence that his back and knee conditions were capable of worsening. This puts it squarely in a different ballpark than O'Brien and Cousin, because in those cases, I think it was undisputed that the conditions at issue were progressive or degenerative, essentially things that were capable of worsening over time. For these reasons, we respectfully request that the court dismiss or affirm. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Does the court have any particular thing they want me to address? Okay. As we pointed out previously, our argument is that the O'Brien definition of capable of getting worse was the one that should have been applied at the time. And as they then recognize, there is no language in there that even cites even a medical, that even cites the VA general counsel opinion at the time, which says that that is the standard. We also then point out about whether or not something is capable of getting worse.
I guess the question is, if that 1986 VA decision is a bit unclear and ambiguous as to whether it was applying the 1985 VA general counsel opinion about the distinction between defect and disease, then can it really be said that there was a clear and unmistakable error by the VA? Because I think the standard is, it essentially has to be undebatable that the VA used the incorrect legal standard for the distinction between defect and disease. And at the moment, there's not anything in the record that you can point to that proves undebatably that, in fact, the VA applied the incorrect legal standard as set out in the 1985 VA General Counsel opinion.
The only thing...
And then for us to even review that question seems to be outside our jurisdiction.
Well, I think that we would point out on APPX 24, and we'll point out two statements in here. So the question is whether or not something is capable of getting worse. And what we point out is the board's statement, the veteran's service medical records show he made frequent complaints regarding pain in his back. And then if you take a look at the bottom paragraph, during his period of service, the veteran also had frequently complaints of bilateral or unilateral knee pain. And so our argument would be that if the standard that's being applied is something capable of getting worse, then in light of those findings, then there should have been then a discussion about, in light of the fact that the veteran had frequent complaints regarding pain in his back and in his knees.
The board also said that the x-ray findings indicated spina bifida occulta and then something called Osgood-Schlatter's disease, and then concluded that these sorts of conditions are congenital. And
but you also then have it then contradicted by the fact that that you do have service complaints showing okay that it is capable of getting to be worse. So that would be my counter to that. So, does that have any other questions for me?
No. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Case is submitted.